Yakshima, it's me, a Borat, here on Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals to discuss my latest and subsequent movie, Wowie Wow. It's nice to be here with Rolando and his woman, Nicole. Not. Okay, anyway, it's Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals, an original podcast about unoriginality. It's nice. Wowie Wow.
So, thank you, Borat. I am Nicole.
And I am Rolando.
And welcome to our Borat episode.
Borat. Who knew that there would be a Borat? It came out of nowhere, too, right?
Yeah, like, it really did.
Yeah. I think that was the whole appeal of this. So, yeah, we're also here with Eddie. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
That's our producer.
And always, before we begin, we're going to get down to business. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't left us a rating, go on to your podcast app now and leave us a rating. Leave us a nice comment. Leave us criticisms. I don't care. Just, you know, engage with us here.
No, I was just going to say, and you can do that by giving us a rating on Apple Podcast. You can give us some criticism by emailing us, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. You can just comment on our posts. We have an Instagram at remakesrebootsrevivals. We're on Facebook, and we have a Twitter at remakescast.
Yeah, you always get that wrong. At Remakes Podcast, yes.
Yeah.
Where we tweet about any breaking news that may or may not happen.
So yes, I'm obviously not the one who's on Twitter. So
I am. Yeah, I'm the only one who happens to like Twitter. So you can slide into my DMs there. Tweet, tweet. The Borat caught us all by surprise, including America. I would say mostly Republicans. But
I want to give it to this crew, and especially like probably their post-production people. I mean, they obviously began shooting this earlier in the year.
Yes.
And they edited it and they turned it around in like no time. Yeah. So like fucking my hat's off to that entire team for just making it possible.
Yep. Just
really
time.
Really cool stuff. Just in time for the election. They were like, we got to get it out before November, and they did it. You might be asking yourself, Borat, but what? It's not a remake. It's not a reboot. Is it a revival? And yes, by our standard, it is a revival. Technically, a property that has been dead for more than 10 years that comes back and is revived is qualifying for a revival.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, this is I think this is a hard property that to do a revival for, I think, in my opinion, because I think, and we'll talk about this obviously when as the podcast progresses, when we talk about the actual Borat subsequent movie. But it's a hard one to do because the shtick is up. The gig is up. Like, right? Like, people know who Borat is. So it's just like, of course, the property has been dead for so long because you needed enough time to pass for Sacha Baron Cohen to figure out how the hell do I make a new Borat movie, because we know Bruno was not as good. That was just, and that was a flop. So, oh, I don't know if it, I shouldn't say that. I don't know if it was a flop, but in my heart of hearts, I believe it was a flop.
I think Borat is his most successful movie to date.
Yeah.
Where did Borat come from? Right. So Borat was a mockumentary film that came out in 2006. This is the year I graduated high school. You know, I remember seeing movies like Casino Royale, The Departed, which we covered in an earlier episode, came out that year.
Paca the Car.
Yeah, with Rolando's fantastic accents that you're just getting all over the place today. But Borat is actually from an earlier Sacha Baron Cohen property called The Ali G Show, which, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen himself is British, and he was predominantly on British television until he started making movies. And then I don't even know if like Ali G, you know, who he was in like the Madonna music video. And I remember that's how I was introduced to him.
That was music, right? Music.
Yeah, it was music. Yeah. He sort of was popular, but I think Borat just brought him to like new levels of fame.
They made an Ali G movie, didn't they?
Yeah, no, it was the first one. That one came out in, I think, 2003 or 2002. And then Ali G, the show, had the characters Borat and Bruno. So he ended up making movies for all of the characters.
Got it. Yeah, I wasn't a big Ali G watcher. The Ali G Show. I think the movie was called Ali G in the House.
Ali G in the House. Yes, it was.
Yes. I remember the name. I don't remember watching it because Ali G, I didn't care. I just didn't care for.
Yeah.
So, but however, I do remember going to the movies to see Borat because I was well in college. I was well into college at this point, and we were what's it called? You know, we all got together to watch a movie, and my God, what a curse upon man that movie was.
Curse upon man.
You know, all those impressions of people just my wife. It's a cool. It's a not. You know what I mean? It was just like, wow, we had to live that. We had to live with that for such a long time. And
yeah,
it was my people.
I mean, he did a great job. So yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, young men in particular, I feel like love this stuff.
They really gravitated towards it. Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to say something about Sacha Baron Cohen. His big inspiration is Peter Sellers. And I don't know if you know Peter Sellers, but Peter Sellers was a British comedian actor, probably most famous for Dr. Strangelove, in which he portrayed three different characters and that he completely immersed himself in. Mm-hmm. And that was something that Peter Sellers did well into his kind of like personal life. Sometimes he would appear in interviews or, you know, like on television and he would be in character. And Peter Sellers was like, you could ask me to be anybody, but don't ask me to be me. And I feel like Sacha Baron Cohen is definitely someone who kind of likes to take these characterizations and embody them so much that he almost, you don't really know too much about who Sacha Baron Cohen is. Because
actually, yeah, it's true. I actually don't know anything about Sacha Baron Cohen. I actually know Borat more than I know Sacha Baron Cohen.
There you go. See?
Yeah.
And I think that's on purpose. And that's probably a good thing. And I also just, I kind of really respect that. I mean, you know, I don't know if I agree with 100% of his, like how far he takes it within the realms of his comedy. But I do appreciate that he's like, it's all for the comedy and he just sticks to his character and all that. So I like that aspect.
I agree with you. I think sometimes it could be a little, I mean, it's intentional though, right? It's supposed to be off-putting.
Yes.
You're supposed to be getting when you're watching these movies, you're supposed to be feeling secondhand embarrassment for these people.
Yes, you are. You know? And it is pretty much a movie that thrives in the culture of embarrassment. So shall we talk a little bit about Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan?
What a title. Let's talk about, or better known as just Borat.
So this movie, better known as Borat, it's technically a quote unquote mockumentary, which is a fake documentary.
Right.
And
my favorite kind of documentary.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Waiting for Guffman is in my top five favorite comedies of all time.
Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap 2, which was probably one of the originals.
Oh, really?
One of the first ones. I mean, like, Woody Allen's Take the Money and Run is probably one of the earliest I can think of, but one of the most widely, like, in that format where, like, you know, kind of like that cinema verite style that they love to do. Yeah. So anyway... but Baron Cohen, he stars as Borat, and it's this fictitious journalist who travels to the United States to make a documentary. Which
number three journalist in all of Kazakhstan.
Yeah, number three, wow. Yeah. Which features real-life interactions with Americans. A lot of it is unscripted. There are just a bunch of vignettes where he's interacting with real-life people who actually believe that he is indeed this foreigner who has come to America and doesn't really know anything about this country.
Right.
So he kind of plays off of that to get the reaction he wants from these people, or just to get them, I feel like, almost to say what he wants.
Yes.
So
the movie is about Borat trying to make Kazakhstan great by also learning American customs and stuff. And part of his learnings, he's trying to learn what Americans do. He's trying to learn to be an American, right? Yes. That's part of the storyline for the movie. And then during the making of the mockumentary, he falls in love with Pamela Anderson.
Yes.
And that kind of leads over to like his what's it called?
His goal for the film,
which is to find Pamela Anderson and make her his wife, despite the fact he's already married and has a wife at home.
Yeah. Yeah. and he travels with his companion, who is his producer, Azamat, and they carry a chicken with them. So it's the three of them.
Right.
Borat himself, this is pretty good. On Wikipedia, it says he is distinguished by exaggeratedly strong anti-Semitism, sexism, and anti-Zionism.
Zionism is the... That's a Jewish thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just pretty much hostility, prejudice, or racism, which is specifically directed at Romani people.
Oh, Romanis.
Yeah, Romani.
I think
people.
Colloquially known as gypsies, which I
gypsies.
Guess is a bad word.
Yes, he says he yes. He comes for gypsies a lot in the movie.
Who doesn't come for gypsies a lot?
No. So moving on.
All right, whatever, guys. Don't act like you guys are walking around the streets and being like, I take that back. I do. I kind of want to meet Romani people because I feel like they're the ones that give out curses. But not like I don't want a curse on me. I want to ask them to put a curse on someone for me.
And this is based on your knowledge of Romani people
Borat,
from movies.
Obviously. This is, Borat has taught me things about the Romani people.
That's true. This movie actually has taught people a lot. One of the biggest things is that, like, I feel like shows like this and like hidden camera shows and stuff, like you can get away with doing a lot in front of people, and people kind of like just will watch you do it and not say or do anything about it.
What do
That's
you
one
mean?
Of the most astonishing things about these films. Just I guess for an like I have this more so as an example in the second film, so I would like to kind of expand upon that later.
Okay.
But I mean, he kind of takes things to limits repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And people, I think he gets kicked out once when he walks into the hotel without any pants on, and he's like embodying like, you know, like black colloquialisms, and they kick him out and they actually call the police on him. I read that he got the police called on him many times during this film, but at least in the film, you only see that once. Yeah.
I know. So I happened to one of the podcasters that I listen to. She told, mm-hmm. she mentioned that one of her uncles was actually in the first Borat movie. And so she says the way they filmed this, right, is that he does not start off this hot. He doesn't start off hot, right? He actually starts off as, you know, you would expect, like, someone who doesn't know the language to, right? Very, mm-hmm. Really gains your trust. Because apparently they'll film these things for, like, hours on end. And then in the final half hour is in the way he cranks it up. And that's where they get most of the footage that they use for these movies.
That makes sense.
Right?
Editing-wise, so, too, it makes sense.
And then it's edited very cleverly. I mean, the selective editing in these movies is to be praised, I think, because they're manipulating you. They're manipulating you
they
to
are.
That what happened is as it happened. And, you know, I think us being filmmakers, we know, like, it's just like, okay, we can tell when things are being stitched together to make it look like something happened. And we can also
100%,
tell when things are reshot, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and sometimes too, like when there's like a close up of people, you know, you don't know what they're reacting mm-hmm. to and
exactly.
all this stuff. So editing
Precisely.
Is a beautiful art form, and you can really do whatever the heck you can create anything you want because of it. But at the same time, even then, like with the wide shots and the static shots where you're actually like knowing that this is a moment mm-hmm. that's happening in real time, it's pretty amazing how complacent people are. And how people aren't going to kind of like step up and when they feel uncomfortable or see something that they kind of know is wrong and not really say much.
No, but like, I think most people do that, right? Like, all right, here's a great example. Billy Bush and the Trump tape.
Okay.
Right? Billy Bush lost his job for not stepping in and like telling Trump is just like, yo, man, you can't really be saying don't grab the women by the pussy. He's interviewing Trump. You know what I mean? He's trying to build a rapport with the guy. He's just there laughing awkwardly, as most people tend to do in those awkward situations. So I'm not saying that what Billy Bush did was right. I'm just saying it's just like, you can't throw that stone at him. And same thing goes with some of these characters, right? Or these people. I think the ones that do show their outward prejudice, like the guy who had all the Confederate memorabilia, for example, right? Like, that's a whole different mm-hmm. story. But I'm talking about like the innocent people who are just kind of there, just like okay, you know what I mean? Like, they're mm-hmm. they're just innocent bystanders because they're just caught into this awkward mess. So how do you
not necessarily throwing stones at them, but saying that I guess sometimes too, like, it's just better to stand back and watch something kind of like happen or hear things mm-hmm. and then just kind of like go about your business. It's hard to stand up and be like, don't say that, or just like walk away, because also mm-hmm. fear of, you know, just fear of backlash, fear of, you know, confrontation, all that stuff,
being ostracized
yeah,
backlash,
so
more the bigger thing,
but I mean, at the same time, you know, he's pretty much cornering them into getting these reactions from them. And then it's just like, so some of these things are funny, and then some of this just kind of sucks, because you're like, oh, you know that he's just kind of like, what he wants is you to like those boys in that van. You know, it's like, oh, look at these drunk idiots.
The frat guys? The ones who introduce him to Pamela Anderson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so it's either, I don't know how real this is and I can't really remark about that, but it's like, I can't just sit here and be like, oh wow, what a bunch of sexist assholes, because it's like, that's what he probably wanted out of them. I don't even know how many beers they fed this guy and how much he encouraged them to talk like this. Like, it just kind of,
as a former frat guy, I gotta say,
it probably didn't take him much.
Not much coercing it took, all right?
Like, yeah, I'm not a frat boy or anything, but it's like, maybe that's one of the, I shouldn't have used that as an example, but sometimes it's just hard because it is kind of like, I can't really judge this person because, like, I feel like you kept pressing and pushing and pushing and pushing until, like, you got this, and now you're presenting it to me, like, look at these jackasses. So that's a little gripe I have with the film. What about you? Like, did that bother you at all?
No, I mean, so when I watched this movie for the first time, I was obviously in college. It was a funny movie. I think some of the bigger problematic stuff comes in, like, not just the anti-Semitism, mm-hmm. which back then was funny. Like, I was in a fraternity that had a lot of Jewish guys, and, like, you know, making anti-Semitic jokes here and there was very posh, you know. In retrospect, it's just like, no, that's a very horrible, we shouldn't be making fun of people, you know, they can't control their background and stuff. But man, the running, now I'm thinking of the running of the Jew from the opening sequence.
I mean, like, this was way before politically correct, they got away with so much.
They were able to get away with stuff. That's a good gimmick. It's a good visual gimmick, right? Like those big characters. I think one of the things that I kind of took most pity upon was, like, kind of the treatment of, like, some of the black people, the prostitute, for example.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Like, if I remember, she becomes like a love figure, right?
She marries him.
She marries Borat?
Yeah, at the end, and then he goes back to Kazakhstan with her.
All right, full disclosure, guys. I wasn't able to see this movie again because I wasn't going to pay for it. I had seen it, like, so many times growing up. I'm just like, no, I'm not watching this again. But, okay, she does marry him, goes with him. Wait, what did he do about his other wife? His wife.
Well, remember, she died.
No, I don't remember that. Okay, wow.
Oh, so you didn't rewatch this movie, did you?
I just said this. I did not rewatch this movie.
Because you didn't want to pay it. So, yeah, once he got to America, he found out that she had been killed somehow. And then he was like, Yak Shima, she's dead. So then he was very happy and was able to, you know, pursue Pamela Anderson.
That's why. Okay, got it. Okay, now that all rings a bell. Yeah, I mostly remember most of the funny, I remember the bits and stuff. I don't necessarily remember the plot, because the plot is, the truth, not that important.
Yeah, it's not. It's not.
Like, it's, you know, it's the vignettes.
It's certainly just a bunch of vignettes. I mean, like, there's no sense as to where he goes. He's supposed to go stay in New York, but then he has to, you know, he's like, let's go to LA, but then they end up in Texas and just, like, all this stuff, you know. It's really just an excuse to have these little scenes.
I think one of the things I did like from the movie was the relationship between Borat and the producer.
Yeah, Azamat, yeah.
There was something awfully, I mean, like, literally awfully, it was awful, but it was, like, something sweet there too at the same time. And I think it took them a while. I remember there was a gross out scene, right, where they were, like, kind of, like, 69ing in their bathing suits.
Yes,
I remember that. But I think that they were, Borat lied about trying to get them to California, right? Mm-hmm. So they had, like, their big fight, and I remember they make up just in time for that big scene with Pamela Anderson, which I think was one of the few scenes that was, like, kind of not, that wasn't, she was in on the joke, right? She had to be.
She was, but her bodyguards were not.
Oh, her bodyguards weren't?
Yeah.
Wow. That's dangerous.
I know, right? I think he did get somewhat injured.
How could he not?
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I mean, he needed that real reaction.
It's true. And he got a joke from her.
Yeah. I definitely loved his relationship with Azamat. So Sacha Baron Cohen is Jewish. And he speaks
He's
Hebrew.
Jewish?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so I guess his anti-Semitism is okay then? I don't know. Like, the
well,
character
okay,
that he's
so,
portraying.
Yeah, so let's talk about the portrayal of anti-Semitism. Do you think, for you, does it border on actual anti-Semitism, or do you think that it's accurately portraying how ridiculous and absurd hatred and things like anti-Semitism can be when they're portraying it as such?
That's a good question. I think it's both. So I without no, not I obviously I just found out that Sacha Baron Cohen himself is Jewish. Mm-hmm. Had I not, if you remove that, if you know, literally a moment ago, it's just like, no, I think he takes it sometimes way too far in retrospect. Not this is not what I was thinking, obviously, when I saw the movie for the first time and the subsequent times, many times that I saw it after that. It was funny. However, now in 2020, in the era where we're in a much more PC culture, it's just the sad truth here. I think it starts teetering the line of just like a lot of this stuff could be really hurtful to this demographic that he's singling out. Granted, now I know that it's his very own demographic. There is humor in you can't he himself being Jewish can and calling out the anti-Semitism that he or his people may have experienced and stuff changes how you look at it. So I think it, that's why I think it's just like also at the same time, yeah, like the caricature of anti-Semitism itself is also what is the critique.
Mm-hmm.
Like how ridiculous these beliefs are of the Jewish person.
Yes.
So yeah, it's both. I think it's both. I think it could be crossing a line, but at the same time, it's just like I think it's a fair critique of people who hold very anti-Semitic beliefs.
I definitely think it that way. I mean, sometimes comedy kind of has to make you. I don't know. Not all people resign themselves to this theory, but I believe that comedy sometimes should be slightly uncomfortable and push boundaries in order for you to kind of like think about why you find it funny. And you know why it is that they're probably even telling this joke. I think he purposely, in this particular film, it's all about the anti-Semitism, and making Americans look kind of ridiculous.
Yes,
but it's kind of like, you know, it's like it has its moments where it's kind of sexist and he's making fun of gypsies and stuff like that. But more than anything, it is just attacking Jewish people.
Yes, I would agree with you on that for sure.
And yes. Of course you look at it differently knowing that he is Jewish, but I do think that once it just gets almost to the point where it's like, oh my God, they need to stop. It's also kind of like, this is probably how people are. Like, I'm not saying people in Kazakhstan or anything. I'm just saying in general, like people who have strong beliefs like this, whether it be anti-Semitic or whether it be, you know, it's as simple as people who hate like either libtards or conservatives and stuff like that, or straight up racism. I mean, people with extreme prejudicism are absurd and should like relax the fuck down with their extreme prejudicism, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings.
I mean, yeah. I mean, come on. You and I are both Latinx. We're also both in the queer community and stuff. Like the hostility that we sometimes get, like, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's just like, oh, you kidding me? I used to literally not try to speak any Spanish around like white people when I was living in New Jersey for that very reason, right? Because like it's just like there's automatic assumptions that people make of you that are these prejudices, and you just never, the truth is, like, you just never know, like, you just never know when someone's going to straight up act a fool in front of you and like do something
or just have a problem with you. Hostility for taking like too much feministic tones on this show and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You tell me, you point them out to me, I will go tweet nasty things at them. But I remember
I don't think
once
you will.
I will. From the podcasting. No, but I remember one time, like, my mom, like, I was taking her to the airport, and keep in mind this is during the Trump era. But I dropped her off, and
it's technically still the Trump era.
Technically, we're still in the Trump era for like, I think like 70 something more days. I drop her off and I tell her, I'm giving her the instructions. My mom speaks predominantly Spanish. All right. She is a broken English speaker, but her language is Spanish. And I'm like giving her the directions. Some white lady is like a mere like few feet from us. And she's just like, it's America. Speak English. And we both snapped at her. We were just like, go fuck you. She's an American citizen. I'm born in this country. You know shit about us, lady. She backed the fuck up quickly. But I was just fucking, I remember, I'm just like, and that was one of those moments where you're just like, shit, like, I forget, like, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff.
Yeah, it is real.
And we don't. So here's the thing, right? So where Jewish people, I can't speak to how they would feel about these jokes. I want to say that there was a backlash from the actual Jewish community for this movie.
Absolutely.
Right?
Which you could definitely see why.
Yeah, and you can't. And even the fact that, so Sacha Baron Cohen is not protected by the fact that he is himself Jewish. I think it gives him a little more liberty, but at the same time, he's still spewing this hateful rhetoric that, like, a stupid person doesn't understand is being critical. Does that make sense? Like, I think that's where the danger lies. Like, he himself is making a critique. A stupid person might not understand that and just take his anti-Semitism at face value.
But we've talked about this on the show before. Is it bore this movie's responsibility for the idiots out there who take this and, like, kind of use it as fuel for their own hateful rhetoric? I mean, it's at this point, it's like, so he can't portray racism because he might influence racist people. I mean, racist people are going to exist no matter what, unfortunately.
That's a fair point. And I think, I'm starting to lean more and more. It's just like, you got to leave the artist do his thing. It's just like, you can't control how people are going to take it.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's also, maybe it's in a weird way than, like, seeing how people respond to it, then maybe the exposure within, you know, the reaction that it gets out of some people is probably worth it, you know, seeing how people react to it, if that makes sense. But actually, I did want to say, because we were talking about Azamat, when he speaks, you know, when he's supposed to be speaking the Kazakhstan language, and I don't know what that is off the top of my head. I apologize. But he's actually speaking Hebrew.
Oh, really?
And so there are times too where, apparently, when I was reading up about this movie, is that he's not really saying what the subtitles are, and he's actually making, like, kind of inside jokes for people who wouldn't understand what he's saying. So,
I wonder what those inside jokes were.
Yes, I do wonder.
So there must be a site out there that has, like, all the inside jokes, unless they keep it themselves, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, by all means, we can, you know, label Sacha Baron Cohen as an extremist. I mean, you know, full-on nudity and, like, this ridiculous fight scene between Azamat and Sacha Baron Cohen, when you said they were practically 69ing each other, and this goes on for, like, 5 minutes.
It is a very cringy scene of just, like, they're covered in, like, whipped cream.
Yeah.
It's very,
really, like, homoerotic and gross. I mean, just so much is taken to the extreme here. And I think part of it is it's supposed to make us uncomfortable. And I guess I just want to ask you, why do you think he wants us to be uncomfortable? What is, like, the end goal there?
Okay, so this movie, in terms of politics, it doesn't feel as political as its subsequent sequel does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where here, I think he's just capitalizing on, comedy, and he's kind of capitalizing on kind of these people not knowing Borat and interacting with his immigrants in this new way.
Yes.
I already forgot your question because I was just going on a tangent.
Oh, so, well, one, I guess I wanted to ask if this movie made you feel uncomfortable, and two,
several times.
If it did, like, so why do you think that, because I think that was his goal. Why do you think that was a goal, and what do you think it, like, it got out of people, and I guess in you in particular?
I mean, when I watched this, right, I don't know necessarily I was thinking of that high-minded thing. It's like, what could he be trying to, what is he critiquing here? I don't know. I just take it as cringe comedy for the sake of cringe comedy.
Okay.
This movie in particular. Now, this is where, regrettably, unfortunately, maybe had I rewatched it, I would have a different answer. I'm going to still stand by my defense here. I paid several times for this movie. I'm not going to pay another time on Amazon Prime for it. Sacha Baron Cohen made all his money from me, and that is that. I can't answer that. I didn't watch it. What's your feelings on that? Do you think he had an actual?
I mean, I think that, I don't know. That's, like, me too. I'm like, anytime I see something that just kind of, like, so obviously pushing for reactions, like, wants you to squirm, wants you to be uncomfortable, wants you to be kind of, like, disgusted, I feel like there's you're really trying to say something, or you're trying to do something to your audience. And in a weird way, I feel like that's just his way of making us look at kind of like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like the piece is somewhat of a critique of America.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that he's trying to say some things about us, some nice things and not some very nice things.
Right.
That, you know, we are kind of ignorant and whatnot. And I feel like sometimes when you have such, like, a strong kind of message, because, like, you know, hey, you're a country full of divided, ignorant people,
right,
the only way you can say that is through comedy. And the only way that people will probably accept that is through comedy.
So here's the thing. Why do you think this movie was so successful? Because this movie was successful.
Right? Because I think it thrives in this culture that we have where we love to see people get embarrassed and embarrass people, right? So it's got that going for it. And then he's just such a ridiculous, outlandish character. And unfortunately, to your part earlier, I do think that things like seeing such strong misogyny and anti-Semitism gets people to go. And it's terrible.
I mean, the misogyny for sure. I mean, I guess... I guess in 2020, realizing too, it's just like, yeah, maybe anti-Semitism too, because how things went in the election. Just like, I think racism is here to stay for a while, guys. Yeah, I think it's the same. No, but I guess my question is like, why? I think you're spot on, right? But now in retrospect, how do we as Americans feel about this British man fucking coming here and just fucking making fun of us as a nation? Because that's basically what he's doing, right? He's saying, it's just like, ha ha, look at you fucking morons. Like, what's wrong with you guys?
I just wish it wasn't so damn easy for him to do it.
Truth, right? That he could do it twice.
Seriously. But then also, you know, who is this English man who is taking a country's identity that, you know, like, he knows that Americans are not familiar with, like, Kazakhstan, and claiming it, you know, like the reception that this movie got in Kazakhstan, they banned this movie. They totally denounced it. Did you know that there was an accidental use of its parody national? Because, you know, he sings their national anthem at the rodeo. Uh-huh.
I remember. Yes, it is.
So there was actually a moment in where there was a Grand Prix of shooting. And they played this national anthem, not the actual Kazakhstan anthem.
No.
Oh, isn't that crazy? Yeah. And the incident apparently resulted from the wrong song being downloaded from the internet.
That happened. So, that's a simple mistake. When this gets the SEO for when you... So, you know, when you think this is like an official song, you don't know better. You know, the truth is, unfortunately, people don't do their research.
Yes, they do not.
So, you know, yeah.
And again, ignorant Americans.
Grand Prix, wouldn't that be in Europe? I don't know how many prees are held in the U.S.
I don't know, but I mean, I guess maybe it's
more
just
like
Americans.
French or something.
It could be, yeah.
I could be mistaken on that. I don't know. I'm not a big auto guy.
Yes, unfortunately, we are ignorant on this.
I mean, yeah.
Well, how surprising. but I mean, I don't know. I guess I would, in some ways, I would less agree with the fact that how dare this Englishman portray Americans this way, and more so like, how dare he put them in a corner and force them to react a certain way and then make us laugh at it. But that's just kind of like me, because like I can kind of clearly see that that's happening in some of these scenes. And I'm just like, you feel like this feels manipulated and blah, blah, blah.
Who do you see yourself laughing at most? Oh, sorry. I keep moving this thing. I'm sorry. Who do you see yourself laughing at more, though? At Borat's shenanigans or the people?
Oh, 100% Borat.
Yeah. So I think I get that a lot more in this. And I remember that mostly from this movie, from Borat, the first one. Like, a lot of the jokes are at the not exclusively. I think the humor is from the targetation of these people. But a lot of the humor does fall on Borat's shoulders on this one. Right.
Yes, it does.
I will say this. Like, I don't know if the movie ever felt mean-spirited. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Okay, so what about the scene where the elderly Jewish couple take them in and then
they find out they're Jewish and they go running off the bed and breakfast scene? Shit.
Yeah.
You're right.
Now, granted, I don't know if I personally would say that it's 100% mean-spirited, even though it's like a clear, like one of the most extreme displays of the anti-Semitism in this movie, which also just makes it even more outlandish and like hysterical, because it's like, well, how, my god, these buffoons. But that also, I mean, with the nicest, and that was where the comedy comes in the contract, right? The nicest people, and they think they're gonna poison them because they're Jews,
right?
But you know, I would say that that's a scene that is kind of hard to watch.
That is okay, fine, I take it back. I and that was that's early on in the movie too.
Yeah. Yes.
I guess the better, you know, I guess the way to judge a person is just like, what do they remember the most from this movie? Like, what are the scenes that stood out to you the most? And I feel like, let's dissect that. What does that say about you? Because I forgot about that scene, right?
Well, I also like just recently saw this movie, yeah, so it's fresh in my mind.
You're not the target audience on that one, but how many people do you think actually rewatch this movie leading up to Borat? Because I don't think you really need to see the new Borat.
I wouldn't be surprised if people rewatched it just for the enjoyment, you know?
Did the movie hold up?
Well, so I saw this for the first time.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is very rare when this happens where I've seen the original one when it came out.
This is my first time. You know, for some reason, even though I saw it and it was appealing and I know Borat and I was never really interested in seeing the film.
No, I feel like, and no, this is not sexism here, but I feel like this is like definitely, I don't think women ever actively want to see this movie. I think if any woman who saw this movie were usually going to see it with their boyfriend begrudgingly.
Perhaps. I mean, I actually enjoy Sacha Baron Cohen.
Do you? What other stuff do you know from Sacha Baron Cohen?
Well, I do know Bruno.
Did you watch? Did you like Bruno?
It was okay. I had The Dictator.
Bruno did well? Oh, okay. Apparently, okay. According to Eddie Z, Bruno did well. I didn't know that. I thought it sucked.
Box office-wise, it probably did very well.
Maybe it didn't suck. I just didn't think it was as good as Borat.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I loved when he, you know, made fun of that, when he put the cremation remains on Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet as the dictator. I enjoyed that. He was in the Les Mis movie. He was in the Sweeney Todd movie. I mean, like, I enjoy, you know, seeing him.
Oh, yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen. I didn't know that Sacha Baron Cohen did stuff.
He does.
I thought he disappeared after Bruno.
But yeah, so, I mean, I just never saw them, you know.
Yeah, all right.
And, yeah, it was interesting going from Borat to then Borat's subsequent movie film. Technically, it's a revival in our case, but it is the sequel that came out a full 14 years later.
A full 14 years later. So let's talk about Borat's subsequent movie film.
Yes, 2020.
No one's going to the movie theaters because of coronavirus.
Yes.
What else? Oh, and then Sacha Baron Cohen decides to grace us. It's just like, yo, guys, I'm dropping a movie right before the final debate. Enjoy.
Yep.
And Rudy Giuliani is doing questionable things in it. That's basically how it was packaged, and we devoured it up as a nation.
Oh, heck yeah. For a while, we're a little late on this, but for a while, all I like saw was people talking about this, and especially the Rudy Giuliani scene.
Really? Oh no, I know. That one showed up on the news a lot. But did people... So this is one of those movies where I think it would have had a great box office if, obviously, Corona didn't happen. I think they... becoming an Amazon exclusive... Was it always supposed to be an Amazon exclusive, or did they find Amazon exclusivity because of the coronavirus?
Great question. I wish I had the answer for that.
Yeah. Yeah, Eddie Z, see if you can look that up. See if like they became Amazon exclusive as a result of the coronavirus, or was it always planned to be an Amazon exclusive? Because it's an interesting movie. So what is this movie about?
So the character of Borat, we catch up with him. Mm-hmm. And apparently in all the time that was from his original film to this film, he humiliated Kazakhstan.
Right. Which happened in real life.
Yes, which happened in real life. So they imprisoned him in a gulag for life. But then the country's premier decides to release him and gives him a mission to deliver Johnny the Monkey?
Johnny the Monkey, yeah.
Johnny the Monkey to President Donald Trump in an attempt to redeem the nation.
Yes.
Because, you know, for a long time, the country had a terrible leader with Obama, and now they have... their own premiere with Trump, so they want to give them a gift and be in their good graces.
Specifically, yeah, I like how they're referencing how Trump is like a strongman leader, and that's why they're trying to appeal to him because of his love of other dictators and stuff.
Eddie?
Yeah.
No, but didn't they decide that they couldn't give the gift to Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think he's
the Trump Towers.
I think he gets
it's like Mike.
I forgot.
Pence.
So remember, he took a shit in front of the Trump Tower in Borat.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and mind you, this is long before Sacha Baron Cohen knew. He always knew.
Yeah.
But as a result, he couldn't deliver the gift to Trump, so he had to deliver it to Pence instead.
Yes.
And that was going to be their way to like win over the favor of the strongman dictator Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah, thank you, Eddie.
Was the idea is that they wanted to get into the powerful men's club?
Yeah, yeah, like the dictators that, like, you know, Kim Jong-un, the Saudi Arabians, Putin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those political leaders is who they're trying to also rub elbows with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seems all very comical, and yeah, this is real life we're talking about, so like,
yeah,
America, what are we doing? All right. So yeah, so that's basically the setup, right? He is released from jail, and he gets sent to go to America to make a new documentary. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not even make a documentary. He's just going to deliver this gift. And he's hated by all his locals in Kazakhstan. This is why I forgot that he married the prostitute, because she wasn't in this movie. His wife is now with another woman, or with another guy.
Yeah, he lost, right? Like, pretty much, you know, everything. His house, yeah, his wife, prison, and everything. Yeah. He was just left with some livestock, which included his 15-year-old daughter.
Right. So his 15-year-old daughter is left. So this movie, clever. I think this is clever on Sacha Baron Cohen's part. I guess he figured out early on. It's just like, yeah, I can't do this movie again because he's too fucking famous. Everyone's going to know who he is. So I'm going to introduce his daughter. That's going to be like kind of, she'll be doing a lot of the stuff that I can do. And maybe I'll try on different costumes and like kind of gimmick with her as well. But yeah,
they address that in the movie too. When he goes to America, everybody recognizes him.
It's like, yo Borat, oh my god, can I get your order, guy? Can I take a picture? It's just like Sacha Baron Cohen stated character while doing this too. It's just like, fuck, you ruined my fucking shtick. You know, like, that's how I would have been reacting.
Yeah, and then the rest of the movie he's in like some getup, so he's not even, he's like Borat in another getup.
It's so Borat that as other people.
Yeah.
Borat and doing American accents, you know?
Yeah. And also, he doesn't bring his daughter with him. His daughter,
like, oh, that's right,
cleverly gets into the compartment where the monkey is in order for her to come to America and be with her father.
Right. So, oh, spoiler, guys. We're going to be spoiling the shit out of this movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, here's your warning.
Yes. And the daughter was portrayed by Maria Bakalova, who was really, really good.
Who is she? Who is she? Is she famous? No.
I don't think she's been in other films that I'm aware of.
She was good. I
she was
her.
In other stuff.
I don't know. I actually genuinely thought it was just like, oh, is she like another British comedian? Like, has her own TV show, like Ali G, and like is hitching a ride on her wagon? Or did he discover someone new? Because if he discovered her, good on him. I think she has a career ahead of her.
Well, she's acted in other stuff, but I guess you can say in quotations that she was discovered by him. She's a Bulgarian actress.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, she's really young. She's younger than both of us.
Wait, how old is she? Because I know she cannot be 15, though.
She was born in 1996, so she is almost...
Oh, shit, that seems pretty young. No, I guess not that young. 25? Yeah, that sounds right.
We're good at math.
Our math.
Yeah, wait, and actually,
Eddie Z, any update on that? Was it always going to be an Amazon Prime or no?
No, it seems. It seemed that that's where it was headed. Even though he pitched it to other distributors, they were not touching it due to its political.
Oh, okay. So people were afraid in the year 20. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, interesting indeed. This movie got lawsuits? Oh, I didn't know that. Wait, say that again. I didn't get any levels on you when you said that.
That this movie got a lawsuit?
Interesting. Okay. Who knew? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Mm-mm. I'm not surprised. Lots of controversy.
Why? Who's, like, what's... Oh, I take it back. No. Yeah, I see the controversy.
Yeah, no, there's there's plenty. I mean, this movie is very much a bunch of vignettes, just like the first one. The difference, though, is that they now all heavily involve his daughter. So right. If the first one's humor really stemmed from either Borat being in America for the first time and that meets his anti-Semitism, this movie goes way more into the misogyny aspect.
Right.
More so how he looks at his daughter as a piece of property who's not smart and who can't think for herself and blah, blah, blah.
A very old way style of thinking of women.
Yes, and
keeping with the joke that like they're a backwards old country.
Mm-hmm. And then after realizing that he couldn't bring the monkey, he was like, I'm going to bring my daughter to Pence. So he decides to kind of like make her more Americanized and make her as more of an accessible present for Penn. Right. So he brings her to like a debutante ball, takes her to go get some surgery, you know, stuff
do
like
her
that.
Hair, do some makeup.
Yeah.
Really hooch her up, you know?
Uh-huh. And, you know, most of the movie, too, it shows how she's kind of and has been influenced by his ideals of women and how she believes a lot of the things that she's grown up thinking. So, you know,
not just his and, they, you know, the nations,
right? The nations. Like,
they have a book that they give the Kazakhstan House of Agriculture gives every time you have a daughter a book. And like some of that book has all these myths about women. For example, if you touch your vagina, it will eat you. And then you will become like get sucked into it and like kind of turn into like an anus like ball or something, right? That was one of the jokes and stuff. And she one of my favorite characters in this movie is probably the Janice. She was the babysitter.
Yes.
Right. So Janice is reading this book to her, and she's just like, "Baby girl, you know this is not real, right?" She's like, "No, it's real. It's real." And she's just like, "Oh, baby girl, no." Like, it's just like,
yeah, and she frees her.
She is. She's like the catalyst that kind of sets the character rolling for freedom. You know how like this is one of those movies that's like all improv. There's a lot of improv in this movie. So I don't know if like, because I don't know if they specifically were looking for a Janice type character who would try to talk sense into the female. Or if it was just something that just worked out, just like, ooh, we're gonna work this into the plot to kind of drive, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know how this was made in that sense, because I know Janice, the actual lady, is real.
Oh wow,
she did not know that this was like a mockumentary or this was Borat or anything, right? Because she has gone on the news, she's talked about it. She only got paid, I think, like a few thousand dollars to appear in the documentary that she thought was that this was like a real thing.
$3,600,
right? And as a result, her local community started a GoFundMe for her, and I think it's raised over $100,000, something? Or that's her goal.
$150,000.
Yeah, because she's like the only character who has been like, no, you're beautiful. You don't need this.
And then Cohen had donated $100,000 to her community.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Aw.
That's good. Well, she was like, so she's one of the few people who, all right. This movie is highly critical of America. It's highly critical of America's political situation right now.
And she started her acting career, by the way.
She's going to act?
Well, she was, it doesn't say where, but...
You need to talk into the camera, please.
She was cast as an angel in a comedy film. It doesn't say which exactly, but because of Borat, they cast, they, you know, she got an acting job as an angel in a comedy.
She has great screen presence, I think.
Yeah, she does.
I don't know. There were certain times where you're just like looking at her, just like, is this she can't be a real person. No one is this nice anymore. Which is
the opposite. I felt she was the only real thing that was really coming out of this film.
I guess I'm so jaded. I'm just like, no one is this nice. I'm just cynical.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
no, their interactions were really good. They had a lot of chemistry together.
They did.
It did. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I felt like it was like I was like, oh, this is 100% real or this is 100% fake. But
I mean, there were a lot of moments in this movie where so fun fact, Eddie had never seen Borat. Right. So he actually was constantly asking me, it's just like, wait, this isn't real. This is not real. I'm just like, no, this is how they film it. Like some of this stuff is real. Some of this stuff might be restaged a little. But for the most part, this is supposed to be genuine, like interactions from people. My favorite thing that was played through great comedy was the abortion clinic or the women's clinic, right? Because it's one of those clinics that is not an abortion clinic. It's like religious ops to push women into not having abortions, right? So this little girl had just swallowed like a little plastic baby toy, and she's just talking. She's like, "I need to get the baby outside of me." And they're like, the guy, the supposed doctor is just like, yeah, we can't do that, though. Like, this is what happened. And she's just like, no, but it's my father. He gave it to, you know. So she's basically implying that it's incestuous. And this guy is just straight up is just like, well, it doesn't matter how it happened. The point is that you can't have an abortion. It's just like,
yeah, right.
The logic here, right? It's just like, really? You guys, like, who's the monster? This movie does a better job. Of shining the light on the monsters amongst us
I see.
than than I think the first one.
Right? Is that also the same doctor who, when they were like, oh, would you go out with her? And it's like, not when your father's here.
No, that was the plastic surgeon.
That was the plastic surgeon.
That was a plastic surgeon. That was so gross.
So gross.
Because he knows she's 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Terrible. Oh, I think it's also more repugnant that he would even consider doing surgery on a 15-year-old. Like plastic surgery.
Breast. Yeah.
For her breasts. It's like that, you guys, I don't know if you see South Park, but there was that scene where there was a part where, not Bebe. Oh, no, yeah, Bebe. She developed early, so she wanted to get her breasts reduced, right? Because she's getting all this male attention. So she goes to the doctor. He wants to, like, make them bigger. And she's just like, no, I want them removed. I want to make them smaller. And he's like, oh, young lady, I can't do that. Like, you're growing. Like, that's craziness. You're crazy right now. So he was cool with, like, making them bigger, but, like, making them smaller. No, thank you. Yeah, I thought that was those scenes. I think a lot of the comedy actually around her specifically was my favorite stuff about this movie, to be totally honest.
Yeah, she held her own against him really well.
Mm-hmm.
I would say
she was great.
This movie in particular, it does have more of like a target, like you said. Mm-hmm. And I think the target are more so like white Republicans.
I mean, they were definitely he was going out of his way to really do his best to not shine a positive light on them. I'm not going
to
say that.
Yeah, he really was going out of his way to do that.
So I will admit this. I don't think he went out of his way to... I don't think he went out of his way to humiliate them, though. And I think the scene that comes to mind, for example, is that I think they were a gay couple, the ones that had the cabin.
Yeah, and when they were talking about Clintons being evil.
Yes, right. So, granted, that's all deplorable stuff that they were all talking about. However, he humanized them a little in some sort of way, right? These guys are brainwashed.
Of course, yeah.
They're not, but he shows how brainwashed they kind of are. And there is some semblance of like reality to them, right? Because when he shows them the book of like women, they kind of realize like, nah, man, this is conspiracies. It's just like, oh, you guys, you have an idea of what a conspiracy is, but you don't know that you guys are following them. Cool. I get it. Those moments where I was just like, yeah, he's really, really, really calling out these right wingers and stuff. But, you know.
Yeah, I guess in some ways that kind of bothered me, because I was just like, if you're gonna poke at people, I kind of would prefer if you poked at everybody, because then you just are coming off as you have an agenda.
Oh no, he definitely had an agenda. You could tell by the end, like the agenda for this movie was, it's not hidden, it's just like, you need to vote, we need to vote this guy out.
Yeah, and
that's the agenda for this movie.
Now granted, I found that last you know, like the Parade of the Americans to be really accurate and funny.
It was good. I thought it was funny.
I don't know, like, he's kind of like saying, I mean, obviously, you know, we don't have a great president with Trump, but he's also kind of saying that like certain types of people are the problem.
Well,
and that's just kind of a very one-sided opinion.
I don't disagree with you. I think technically speaking, unity would be the solution, not disunity. However, I don't know. Can you really talk sense to these people?
What did we say earlier about prejudice, Rolando?
I'm not prejudiced. I want to believe that. I want to believe that there are good people out there who did vote for Trump and that can be kind of, you know, who can kind of maybe get back into like normalizing civility in politics. But I don't know. I also think at the same time, there are just some people who aren't. And that's on both sides, though.
And that's 100% on both sides. Yeah. I mean, so it's very much like, you know, misogyny is the theme here, and then attacking, you know, white Republicans in this country.
I do want to point out, it is misogyny that is a theme here, but it's breaking misogyny in a way that is like the plot of the movie, right? It's about a woman discovering, just like, oh, I can have rights, I can drive, I can touch my own vagina, and then that's part of the ending, right? They bring feminism to Kazakhstan.
Yes. You know? No, it's a cute little ending. I feel like it's not so much misogyny. I do want to say it a little differently. It's kind of like, I guess maybe I should say sexism, because it involves her body so much. And this is particularly in play with Rudy Giuliani. You know, her sexualization of women.
Oh my God.
So yes. It's more so about how we sexualize women in this country. And it's funny because they put it as they're doing it in Kazakhstan, but then, you know, he brings her here and everybody just kind of like gives into this stuff.
Wait, what do you mean they do it in Kazakhstan? Because in Kazakhstan, they don't.
Oh, like the belief system was, Kazakhstan people who come to America with this belief system. And yet our country just rolls with it so fucking perfectly.
Right. Yeah. Kazakhstan believes their women are livestock. Here we believe they're blow up dolls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That would be the solution.
And then they really. So they also had an agenda to either, you know, get a reaction out of Mike Pence. And when they couldn't get what they wanted, he got all dressed up in that fantastic Trump outfit, and he pretty much, there was no footage with it. So you know that they were like, all right, plan B, Rudy Giuliani. And he's easier to bait, I'm sure.
Oh, no, yeah. He willingly went into that interview, and he was so happy to be on camera.
And they 100% baited him so hard, and he fucking fell for it. And it's just kind of shitty on his part. And I'm not going to say, oh, they shouldn't have baited him like that, because it's just like, oh, my God. Like, how can you not see how played you are being by this young girl? Like, you are such a it just drove me insane.
All right. So we all made a big stink. The thing that was on the news, right, was like him like adjusting himself. Watching the movie, it did look like he was very much adjusting himself. It didn't look like he was like jerking off like the picture had like kind of hinted it was. However, he did put himself in a very compromising situation. That one more minute that Sacha Baron Cohen doesn't enter, and like things could have. I'm not saying that she was going to get sexually assaulted, but he was already touching her ass. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like he was like,
oh, he was going to unzip his pants and present himself to her.
You think so? I don't know if it was going to get that far just yet.
Well,
I think
he went into the room and he just shut up. Almost as if he was being caught. I thought that was kind of telling.
That's true. That's a good catch on your part. Yeah. No, I think one more minute and he was going. I think he was going to make a proposition. I think he was going to just make the implication there. It's just like, I am ready to go if you are.
Well, now, how do we feel about Sacha Baron Cohen putting this girl in that position?
I mean, I think that's why he ran in so quickly. I genuinely believe that's why he ran in. I don't know. I want to believe in my heart of hearts that they had a discussion and be like, look, I will. They're clearly watching. Right. So it's just like, I'm going to do at the moment I get a whiff of something that will put you in danger. I will run in there. I mean, it's fucking Rudy Giuliani. How old is he?
Gotta be in his 70s.
Really? 60 something? Oh, no.
He looks terrible.
Yeah, he looks awful. I thought he was like already his late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, I was going to guess 76.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, she could take him on.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it is 76.
Oh, he is.
He's 76? I got that right.
Yeah, 76.
Wow.
70. All right. Yeah. Yeah, she'd be fine. You know, what's he going to do?
Yeah,
Hunter Biden. He could barely like tuck in his shirt properly, so she was safe.
Yeah,
why was he laying on
the bed like that? It's all just not good.
Mm-mm-mm. No,
but it's interesting too because you know, Joe Biden is a person who has been accused of sexual assault by a woman named Tara Reid and others.
Was it sexual assault? So it wasn't assault. I think it was
harassment.
I'm pretty sure it was harassment. It was not straight up assault. Trump has been accused. No, there's a major difference. I'm not
there,
saying
although there is a difference, neither of them are great.
No, of course not. I agree with you. But yes, he has been accused of sexual harassment.
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting to me because this goes again with my agenda thing where they're like, oh, we're going to put Rudy Giuliani in a compromising thing and we're going to, you know, humiliate him and show what they're really made out of. But it's like, but that's kind of all politicians. You didn't have to do that to, like, you could do that to literally a Republican or a Democrat. And then it does just seem like a Democratic agenda when it's just like Rudy Giuliani. Because you could have very easily done that to someone on the other side.
You could. So here is, I think, the reason why he actively went out of his way to picking this population, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the COVID virus that plays a big part in the story is kind of what sets trajectory to the rest of the tone of the movie. Because you can tell there was a tonal shift. All right. That's where he was poking fun at, like, at the Republicans at that point. But, like, then he put the lens on the supporters of the Republicans, right? And I think he was making that connection that there is an inherent danger to the selfishness of the Republican, like, not even the Republican, I'm not even going to say Republican Party. I'm going to say specifically the QAnon conspiracy theorists, the people who don't believe in wearing masks and stuff. Like, he put a spotlight on these people, the people who are very supportive of the Trump administration. And he said, it's just like, these people are a danger. I agree with you. Like, yeah, putting the, it is one-sided, but at the same time, like, it's just like, he's kind of calling out a real problem that we do have in this nation. So, you know, what's...
Yes, I definitely agree with the certain people who, like, refuse to wear a mask and all that stuff, with like, outrageous conspiracies. But with the Giuliani thing, it just seemed like an easy trap is all.
So here's, I guess, my counter argument to that. He's the president's lawyer. He should not have fallen for a trap like that. He just shouldn't have.
Yeah, well, that's why I was so aggravated, because I'm like, they literally made it clear that they were trapping you. I think you're just a fucking idiot at this point.
So,
but
it's a matter of, like, I don't know. I don't know if it was, let's say if it was 4 years ago, right? And this was like the end of the Obama administration. I don't think you would have really, Obama himself was actually very PR savvy. He knows how to play the press. He does. He was a good manipulator. He knew when, like, to speak to the media. He also knew when not to. And he also very, I listened to Pods of America, he kept a tight leash on them, on his team and, like, their interactions with media. Something that, like, the media core did complain a lot about, right? So I it was an easy target, sure, but, like, guess what? Like, it shouldn't be this easy. It just shouldn't. It just shouldn't. So.
It shouldn't. Well, so one of the other things that this movie does also show is that, surprise, surprise, spoiler alert, but actually the COVID pandemic was brought on by Borat himself.
Yes, Borat is the super spreader of the virus, right? He took the virus. So on his shipment, on
patient
his
zero,
he was patient zero. Yeah, he sent the virus all over China, and then by the time he made it to America, like, the virus was already starting to spread across the world.
Yes.
And,
which was to make America and the rest of the world pay for laughing at Kazakhstan.
Right.
Which I'm sure there is going to be a lot of controversy there if there isn't already.
So that joke kind of, to be honest, so that whole gimmick at the end, I thought fell flat for me.
Yeah. I mean, to be 100% honest, most of this film felt flat for me.
Interesting. I kind of felt that way at first when I first watched it. Like, I was like, it's not as good as the first one, but when in talking about it with my friends, I think there were a lot of memorable scenes in it that I was just like, you know what, I'm taking it back. Like, I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as, I mean, I don't think neither film for me personally is a laugh out loud, because it's just, like, not my kind of humor. I don't take pleasure in.
No, you don't get,
in
guttural laughs in the first Borat. I remember
it was more
laughs.
So when it was, like, not that whole sequence of him, like, I don't take too much pleasure in watching people get embarrassed, personally.
You're like Eddie. So you're not a fan of, like, shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm?
It's okay. It depends. Oh my God, but that's also like, but he's not really embarrassing anyone in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No,
he's just
it's
an idiot.
It's secondhand embarrassment, right? He's the one who gets himself.
Yeah,
in these situations.
I like that more. Okay. I like secondhand embarrassment. Like, I love Conan O'Brien, who just, like, makes fun of himself constantly.
Okay. Got it.
But anyway, what was I saying?
That you didn't find this movie as good. It felt flat for you.
Oh yeah, no. And then after that, the movie just kind of then suddenly ends, and it just, I don't know. It was
the feel
best.
Abrupt. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
feel abrupt.
I honestly do feel like they were kind of... So this is a movie that you can tell they were making it at the CPAP. The CPAP. That was the conservative a group, or, you know, when they were doing the nominations for Trump to be president, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was like only, I think, in February. That was maybe a week or two after me and Eddie got married. So, like, this was this is a movie that was being filmed you know, not that long ago, and I think clearly they were in production when COVID happened. So they were it was a movie that kind of had to like make some decisions, and I think considering, you know, the state of the of media at the moment, like I think it's just like, okay, I'll give them a round of applause for this. But I think that their plot had to change a lot because of COVID. Obviously, that ending, for example, was all brand new. Like, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
You know, like, I don't think that was in the original script, obviously, because no one knew COVID was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Crazy. But yeah, that the running of the American at the end is probably my favorite thing with Karen and her All Lives Matter shirt and the gun. I mean, that was, I was just such a beautiful everywhere. Read. Yeah. That was funny.
And then, I'm going to actually, right after that, like, next shot is a cut to black. Vote. That's it. Just vote. Like, he, again, they were not hiding the fact that this was a very political movie, and they are very much asking you, just like, we need change, and we need it now. Again, and here's my question for you. Is that okay for a foreigner? Because I don't know if Sacha Baron Cohen is a U.S. citizen, but, you know, he is a foreigner as far as I'm concerned. No, that sounds awful. but he's an outsider, technically. He might be living in America and stuff, but, like, you know, does he have a right to tell us about our politics?
Good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this year, it almost was kind of like a thing that everyone was just hopping on the make sure you vote bandwagon. It was to the point where it was just like, are people actually like going to go out and vote themselves, or are they just telling other people to go and vote?
I hope you voted. Oh, wait, no, of course we did. We posted it on.
We posted it. I'm talking just more about how ridiculous it was to kind of like see it everywhere. It was great. And I'm glad people like the turnout, you know, came up.
Turnout was higher this year. But I don't know. I don't. The turnout, the Get Out and Vote campaigns have always been a thing. I think it was just now, you probably just noticed it now more just because.
Oh, they stepped it up.
You think they did step it up?
Yes,
I don't know.
100%.
I used to watch a lot more TV back in the day, and I used to see like those Rock the Votes.
But that's
the
thing.
Spears.
But it wasn't like in almost in every television show, you know, like how like at the end of RuPaul that they did that, you know, RuPaul didn't do that in 2016 and didn't do that in 2012 and all this stuff. So
wait, no, I actually do think for the 2016 election, she was doing it.
Okay, well, maybe for the 2016.
I can't say for
the ones before that.
For the 2014.
2012.
No, 2016. I'm sorry. No, I'm thinking 2018. 2018 is the vote. That's when she was doing the vote thing. Right, that was the midterms. That's what I was thinking about. So, yeah, maybe she wasn't doing it for 2016. I apologize.
But I guess, I mean, this doesn't really have anything to do with your question just yet. For me, I think that exercising your rights is I don't care who it takes for me to remind me of that, you know. I want to, like, I need to be reminded, and I want to actually do it.
Wait, you need to be reminded to exercise your rights?
I mean, sometimes I think people do need to be reminded, because, like, you know how people were like, stay home and don't go home and protest. It's my right to protest, and I actually am reminded of the fact that it is my right to leave my fucking house and raise hell if I'm unhappy about something.
Okay.
You know, so like in that sense.
I see. Okay. I gotcha. I was more confused. It's just like, wait, you need to be reminded to vote. You need to be reminded you have freedom of religion. I have the freedom to tell the U.S. government, stay out of my house. You can't have your army like just shack up in my house for a war. That's
You
know, I think that's the Sixth Amendment. Most people forget that one.
Yeah. I'm not sure, actually.
I'm pretty sure it's the Sixth.
But I it is interesting how this person who lives in this country, so it's not like they're over in England watching everything on the telly.
Like
they live in this country.
just like this damn foreigner out there in England. What do you know about what's going on in America? I live it. No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he lives in Los Angeles with his hot ass wife and their children. Elsa Fisher.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that they're together.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elsa Fisher. I always confuse her though with Amy Adams.
Yeah, who's also super hot.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You're a gay man. How would you know?
I don't find Amy Adams attractive. Elsa Fisher is cute. I don't think Amy Adams is attractive.
Oh, no, they're both super hot.
They both.
Okay.
Even right. Rachel McAdams. And thank you, Eddie. I appreciate that.
Rachel McAdams.
Eddie has good taste.
Yeah, Rachel McAdams is hot. Why are we throwing her into this?
Because Eddie said there was a third one that looked like them, and I said it might be Rachel McAdams.
Got it.
No, I don't think I'm bothered by that at all. I mean, I guess this movie felt a little bit more preachy than the first one.
Oh, so much preachier.
And so I'm a person who I'm on the fence sometimes about how I feel about it. In this particular case, I don't know if it worked for me.
Okay.
What about you? So wait, this also has to go with the question though. Then, do you think this film was needed?
Yeah, I think this film was. No, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if we needed another Borat movie, but I think sometimes it takes comedy for us to really see the way things are. Like, if you can, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes if you're looking at it through the through a lens of like comedy, right?
Yeah.
It kind of softens the blow. I think a prime example for that is the moment when he's singing his song and all the people are just like, yeah, behead the journalist, right?
There you go.
It's played for comedic effect. And you laugh initially. When you think about it, it's just like, oh, fuck. Like, these are voting Americans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will admit, this movie hits very different after the election. If you watch this before the election, you're just like, yep, I'm going to go vote. Can't wait. I saw this maybe a day after the election. It hit different. It hit because a day later, the election was going to go either way. And you realize it's like, oh, this wasn't a clean sweep for Biden. We may not have the House. Wow, I can't. And then you're looking at this. I'm watching this movie, and I'm just like, we're okay with this. Is what Americans basically decided that this is okay. So. I think this movie was needed. I don't think it's successful because, like, I don't know. But I also don't know how many people were watching Amazon Prime, you know, Borat. I know it was advertised everywhere. I will admit, this was one of the movies that I saw, like, a heavy, heavy advertisement for, unlike any other new stuff that has come out, because I think Hollywood has kind of figured – they're trying to figure out – I don't think Hollywood knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can't handle this. Yeah.
Yeah, like Amazon was able to capitalize off of that kind of not knowing and like kind of throw banners of Borat everywhere. You know, you go on Reddit, you just see banners for Borat. You know, smart marketing and stuff. I don't know how many people saw it, so I don't know if any people got the message. But the sad thing is, I think that this movie is very much highlighting that America is very much fine with like these displays of racism and displays of like just you know
100%.
Holding onto these conspiracy theories and stuff, and I think it's more depressing than anything. I think that's the thing. I think the movie started off funny for me, but like as it continued, I thought it got better, but it also started getting a lot more depressing.
Yeah, well, remember when talking about the first film, I said it kind of shows how complacent people are, and you know, I think that was really highlighted in this film. You can just see a lot of things kind of like right before you and just don't do anything about it. Yeah, in some ways it was kind of depressing. You know, I think that our media is starting to fuck with us as human beings. You know, like there's just so much information out there and there's just so much reading into things. And, you know, there's the difference between mainstream media and then media. And
you mean lamestream media? Copyright Palin. Mainstream media. No, you never heard this?
I don't know.
That was a
Sarah
term.
Palin thing. Oh,
yeah. Palin coined a term. Lame stream media.
Look at that. There is, though, a difference. Now, there you go. Yeah, fake news. There is a difference between mainstream media and stuff. And it's just really crazy to see the effect it has on people because it does. It's just such successful forms of brainwashing. But then it also makes me mad because, you know, the media, whatever side you're on or not, has done an excellent job at dividing this country. Now, of course, so has Trump. He's done an excellent job at dividing this country. Films like this kind of just play into that.
All right. You think the media is responsible for the division of this country?
I'm not saying wholly
responsible, but like you think that they play a major role in it?
I definitely think so.
I don't know. I disagree with you there. I don't know. I think they capitalized off of the division of the country, but I don't think it solely falls on the media. It sucks.
Well, I mean, the people who control major corporations are also like having an agenda on all of their networks. So I do think so.
I mean, I think so. That's like the argument whether news should be a business. That is a separate conversation, I think. I think, now, I do agree with you here where some division is being caused by some quote unquote news organizations. But for the most part, I am a firm believer in the news. I think there can still be journalistic integrity in a lot of
things.
Oh,
yeah. Like, I like NPR. You know, I think
sure,
NPR,
yeah, NPR
is
a great
solid
example. I'm thinking, I will even say, you know, BBC. There's a lot of news organizations out there. I think media has only capitalized off of the division itself. But, like, I actually genuinely think a lot of this falls on politics, on politicians, period. They're the ones who are actively going out of their way to divide this country. Not
yeah.
The news media is only, I think the news media is a symptom, but not necessarily the cause.
I guess it's just because they're aware of the fact that a majority of Americans get their news and get like the kind of like cliff notes of what's happening in mm-hmm. politics from them, and they yeah. manipulate it to, you know, rouse
well,
people up.
That's where I think some,
and I'm not
some
saying all when
no,
I say
yeah.
the media, I'm not generalizing every single piece. I'm not, hey, this would include our podcast in that, but I mean I think we know which ones I mean when I say
I mean
mainstream
yeah
media.
I think we can all decipher that, and I think, but again, I think both sides have something akin to that. I just don't think, but again, I don't think, I think that they're kind of more so, they came out of the division that this country was already going through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not, I don't think they solely created it. Actually, you can make the argument that maybe Fox News, when they knew what they were doing when they started making the division. But even then, at that point, the fact that, like, we were already a pretty divided country, you know? So they're
yeah.
just capitalizing off of it.
I guess it was never this embarrassing before.
No, fair. That is true. I will agree with you. It was never this embarrassing. It is a shame that we're, like, a laughing stock of the nation.
Of the world.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Of the world. we are Kazakhstan at the moment. This is our Kazakhstan reckoning.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, Biden got in, he squeaked in, is embarrassing. You know? It just is what it is.
And on that note.
But did you answer that you thought this movie was needed? I don't think you answered.
I know. I said it. I didn't think it was needed.
Okay. You don't think it was needed. Okay. Got it.
No.
I mean, I think on some level, I feel that way too.
Yeah. I guess it just kind of, if you're going to bring it back and you're going to say something like really big, like I felt like I was trying to decipher what he was trying to say and had a lot of fun with it in the first one, but I knew exactly what he was trying to say in the second one. It was just kind of at times eye roll.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. I think part of the problem for me for this one was the fact that it was like the novelty of the Borat character is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why he had to introduce this new character. I forgot her, what was her name?
Tutar.
You're right. It was Tutar.
Tutar.
Tutar. But you know, she can only do so much. Would you have watched the movie if it was just Tutar?
Maybe.
Right. Like if Sacha Baron Cohen just produces, he took the Borat character out and it was just Tutar.
Yeah, well, I probably wouldn't have, because then we wouldn't have to have watched it for this podcast. And
why
not?
And it would
have
been
Borat,
a revival.
Then
if it's still Borat adjacent, but like kind of, it would have been almost like a rem. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm genuinely curious. It's just like, would this movie have found success if it wasn't Borat?
Probably not, because people don't watch women-driven vehicles as much just yet. We're changing that. Things are getting changed, but we're not there yet.
What has changed that?
That people are starting to warm up to women-driven vehicles?
Yeah, like what?
The MCU universe?
What MCU? What Marvel?
Like, oh, are you implying that people are not at all into women-driven vehicles?
I still think that because men are still very, especially men on the internet, are still very, the first moment they get a whiff of like, oh my god, a woman's in the lead, ugh, pass, you know what I mean? It's
yeah, but like the Wonder Woman franchise has
shown, yeah, all right, fine, I think that, yeah, Wonder
I think
Woman is a good
I think
example.
in this case, I guess it's when a woman takes over in a either male dominated or in a male original, then yes, you are 100% right.
Okay, all right, fair enough,
but yeah,
you may be true. But yeah.
This is probably our most political episode, Rolando.
I know, and it happened right after it happened after our the elections. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a better time to kind of talk. So, you know, I guess it was smart on us to hold off on doing this right before the election because tensions were high. Mm-hmm. I think now that we kind of know who that there's a winner, we kind of know the House. We know where the House stands, but we know that the Senate might be split. It kind of just means just like, okay, there's a breath of, okay, almost normalcy is down the horizon, right? So I think it's a good thing we waited because, like I said, if we had watching this, the movie would have hit different before the election. It just would have. And I think after the election and you see where America is okay with going, it's just like, oh, this is more depressing than it is funny now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just where... That's where I stand on this movie. So, yeah. It was fine to see Borat again, but you didn't even get to see Borat in his full getup.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was just kind of like, okay. Yeah. But, all right.
That's it.
Yeah.
But what did you guys think? Have you guys seen Borat's subsequent movie film? What was your favorite part? Because I think there's a lot of fun parts in there, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you prefer the first one? Let us know. You can let us know on our social media accounts. You can find us on Facebook. Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. We're also on Instagram, much more active there. Our Instagram handle is Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. Drop us an email. Do you agree with some of our political standings that we just revealed here on this episode? Where can people email us, Nicole?
Remakes, Reboots, Revivals at Gmail.
That's right. And I am on Twitter, Remakes Podcast. So check us out. And as always, don't forget to rate and comment on your podcast app.
Yes,
give us a rating.
Yes.
Please. It helps.
It really does help. It really does help.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess that's really it. Like, this was more of a bummer, I think, in terms of discussion.
It kind of was. But we're also recording this episode really late, and I think we're kind of getting hit with the tired wave.
Maybe, so. Possibly. It's very true. So, all right. Well, with that said, stay unoriginal.